now, Monitor brings you Meet the Press, the prize-winning discussion program produced by Lawrence E. Spivak. Ready for the spontaneous, unrehearsed conference of four of America's top news reporters. Their questions do not necessarily reflect their point of view, but maybe their way of getting a story for you. Now here's the moderator of Meet the Press, Ned Brooks.
And welcome once again to Meet the Press. Our guest is Archbishop Makarios, the spiritual and political leader of the 400,000 people of Greek nationality on the island of Cyprus. For centuries, this island in the eastern Mediterranean has been a symbol of a struggle against foreign influence. As the modern champion of the right of his people to self-determination, Archbishop Makarios has become one of the world's most controversial figures. He is the recognized leader of the movement for independence from Great Britain and for uniting the island with Greece. He arrived in this country just a few days ago to resume his fight before the United Nations. Last year, after a breakdown in negotiations with Britain, Archbishop Makarios was arrested by the colonial government. He was accused of promoting violence by the National Organization of Cypriot Fighters. He was sent into exile on a remote island of the Indian Ocean. His arrest aroused a storm of protest in Cyprus, in Greece, and in the British Parliament, and violence on the island increased. 13 months later, in March of this year, he was released. He now lives in Athens because he is forbidden to return to Cyprus. Again, although we're certain that the Archbishop will have no difficulty with our English, we've asked Mr. Andrei Michalopoulos to act as interpreter when and if necessary. And now seated around the press table, ready to interview Archbishop Makarios, are John Oakes of the New York Times, Marquis Childs of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Merrill Muller of NBC News, and Lawrence E. Spivak, our regular member of the Meet the Press panel. Now, Archbishop Makarios, if you're ready, we'll start the questions with Marquis Childs.
Your Grace, what is your purpose in coming to the United States at this time? Is it to agitate for the freedom of Cyprus?
Well, I came here to bring the voice of my people seeking freedom. I am planning to come in contact with the various delegations to the United Nations to enlighten them about the nature of Cyprus problem. At this time, I will come in contact with American people and ask them for their moral support so the people of Cyprus obtain their freedom.
What, Your Grace, is your opinion of the policy of the government of the United States towards Cyprus? Do you think the government has been firm enough for independence?
Well, the United States are always the leader of the free world. And I think that now, when freedom is at stake, the United States cannot remain unconcerned. So I hope that we will have the support of the American government. I don't know what the attitude of the American government is now, but I think that they will exercise their influence so that the matter can be settled.
Mr. Spivak.
Your Grace, are you willing to leave the solution of Cyprus entirely to the United Nations?
Well, the United Nations is an international organization, and such problems as the Cyprus problems is within the jurisdiction of this organization. And if the United Nations act on the basis of the principles of the United Nations Charter, then I am sure that a resolution will be adopted calling for the settlement of the Cyprus problem. So we trust the United Nations.
Your Grace, suppose the United Nations solution does not meet all of your demands on Cyprus. Will you accept such a resolution, or will you only accept the resolution that meets with your entire approval?
I think that the United Nations cannot reject the demand of any people who is seeking to be given the right of self-determination. And in the case that the United Nations will not accept our case this year to be discussed, then we will bring again the Cyprus question before the United Nations next time.
Well, at one time, I believe it was in February, the United Nations passed a resolution, February of this year, I think it was, which called, and these were the words, a resumption of negotiations by the governments concerned. And this was interpreted by one group to mean Greece, Turkey, Cyprus, and Great Britain. And I believe you interpreted that to mean by Cyprus and Great Britain. So that sometimes United resolutions are not too clear to be followed. Suppose the United Nations resolution this time says that this matter concerns Cyprus, Greece, Turkey, and Great Britain. Will you be willing to sit down and negotiate with all of those groups?
I think that last resolution by the United Nations was calling for a peaceful, democratic, and just solution in accordance with the principles and purposes of the Charter of the United Nations. And they suggested resumption of negotiations. When the United Nations said resumption, I understand that they mean resumption of negotiations between the British government and the people of Cyprus. I mean bilateral talks, because the Cyprus question is not a difference between Turkey and Greece, or between Great Britain, Greece and Turkey, but it is really a difference between Britain and Cyprus. So negotiation must be bilateral between Britain and Cyprus. And I called on British government asking for such bilateral negotiations, but my offer was unfortunately rejected.
May I ask one more question on that? Suppose this time the resolution interprets negotiation by the governments concerned, and suppose the resolution spells it out and says negotiations should be between you, the Cyprus, Turkey, Great Britain, and Greece. Would you consent to negotiate with them, or will you only negotiate with Great Britain?
I think that the right way is to negotiate only with Great Britain, because Cyprus does not belong but to its own people.
And the answer is you will not negotiate with anybody but Great Britain.
That's all right.
Mr. Oakes.
Your Grace, on this point, do you deny then that the Cyprus issue, having been brought to the United Nations, is an issue of international importance involving two other countries beside the two you have mentioned, both Greece and Turkey?
No. In our days, an international issue involved many countries, and I may say all the United Nations.
But that Turkey, for example, with 20% of the population more or less, and given the geographic location of Cyprus, does not have a special interest, not to mention the strategic question involving NATO and Cyprus's peculiar position in the Mediterranean. Does not all this give Turkey a special interest in any such negotiations over the future government?
I don't think so. Turkey has no any rights on Cyprus. Turkey may have an interest on Cyprus because of the proximity of Cyprus to Turkey, but this argument is absolutely unfounded. If we follow this argument, then we can say that Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and some other countries may have such an interest about the future of Cyprus.
Your Grace, I was there just a few weeks ago, and I heard repeatedly that if there were any arrangement leading to ennisis in the near future, there would be real danger of war between Greece and Turkey over this issue. I would like to know what your opinion would be of that.
Well, first of all, the Cyprus question is not a question of ennosis, of union of Cyprus with Greece, but it is a question of self-determination. That is to say, we wish to be given the right to decide our own political future, whether we want to become an independent state within or out the British Commonwealth, or to be united with Greece or other country. Suppose that the people of Cyprus decide union with Greece. I don't think that result is a war between Greece and Turkey. In our days, all these problems are collectives. The problems of defense are collectives. The problems of war and peace are collective. If Turkey bear to invade Cyprus or Greece, then she has to face the world condemnation. And the world opinion, I think, is more powerful than armies.
Mr. Mueller.
Your Grace, Selwyn Lloyd is reported from London this afternoon, prepared ready to offer you an independent status forbidding your union with Greece. Would you be prepared to accept such a statehood?
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear this offer by British government.
It hasn't been published yet.
Well, however, this is not a real self-determination. This is not a real freedom. We want the right to decide about our own political future, and we don't like to exclude the possibility of union of Cyprus with Greece.
Well then, what form of administration do you foresee in the future for Cyprus, granted you win your independence?
Well, that depends on the will of the people of Cyprus.
Mr. Childs. Excuse me, were you through? I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Your Grace, I would like to ask you again about the Turkish minority. Now, you have called for a plebiscite, and there are about 20% of Turks on the island. Would they vote in this plebiscite?
Yes, sir, they will vote. But they are not 20%, but under 18%, the Turks in Cyprus. Yes. But they have the right to vote.
Yes, but you would reject partition of the island between the Turkish minority and the...
Yes, because partition is not a solution. There is no any part in the island where Turks are in majority. So partition is practically impossible.
Well, would you remove the Turks from the island then after independence?
No, they will stay there. We are always prepared and willing to give them any guarantees for their minority rights and to safeguard these rights by any international instrument.
Now, some of the Turks and some of your British critics have said that communism is behind some of your independence movements on the island. What is your answer to that, Your Grace?
The whole Greek population of Cyprus is supporting the movement for the freedom of Cyprus. That does not mean that this movement for freedom is a communist movement.
Mr. Spivak.
Your Grace, your critics say that for some 300 years, Cyprus belonged to Turkey, and that since 1878, it has been under British rule. Why then should it go to Greece at this time, or at any time?
I think that if Cyprus was under Turkish rule when the Greeks decided to vindicate their freedom by arms and made the revolution in 1821, I think that Cyprus now should be free. But Cyprus wasn't given to Turkey, wasn't given to British by Turkey. Well, at the time when Cyprus was under Turkish rule, the whole Greece and the whole Balkan Peninsula was under Turkish rule too.
No, but would choose me.
Yes, and we thought when the British came to Cyprus to succeed Turks, we thought that British occupation was temporary. And we were very patient, asking always British government for our freedom. But the British policy frustrated our hopes.
You are then basing your demand for return to Greece on historical reasons and not merely because of a concentration of population that once belonged to Greece?
No. Today the problem, as I said before, is not a problem of enosis. And we are not demanding to return back to Greece, but to decide the form of the government under which we want to live. The people of Cyprus may decide to become an independent state, and the will of the people must be respected.
Well, would you be prepared to agree to keep it an independent state, say for 5 or 10 years, before you voted on enosis?
You mean before we vote?
To join Greece.
Not to join Greece, but to decide about the future. In such a case, we are prepared and willing to accept a transitory period, a fixed, short transitory period.
What's your idea of a short period? 5 years, 1 year, 2 years, 2 months?
Oh, well, that's a matter to be discussed.
Mr. Muller.
Who would govern the island, your Archbishop, under such a transitory period without a constitutional form there now?
In such a case, I think that we will accept a constitution.
You will negotiate a constitution first, now?
Well, if the British are prepared to fix a date for a plebiscite, we are prepared to negotiate about the kind of constitution for this transitory period.
Why must you have a plebiscite to negotiate a constitution? A constitutional form. It seems certain that your people want a constitution of their own.
You mean a constitution by which we are we have the right to decide about our future? Do you mean that?
A constitution which you would negotiate certainly would determine your future. You would accept only the form you wanted.
Well, we are always willing to negotiate for a constitution which will give us the right to decide about our final destiny.
Your Grace, may I turn for just a second to the National Resistance Movement? You said a moment ago that the whole of the Greek Cypriot population supports the demands for independence or enosis. And yet the British charge that the Nationalist Resistance Movement has killed 50% of its victims have been Greek Cypriots. Now, how do you reconcile those two things, your own statement and the casualty figures?
Well, I have not in mind the statistics, but I understand that maybe some of these Cypriots, as I understand, some of these Cypriots were serving at police forces, and so they were fighting against this organization.
Mr. Oakes.
Your Grace, you have been repeatedly accused of responsibility, ultimate responsibility, for the terrorism that has occurred in Cyprus. Have you ever yourself denounced that terrorism, or would you be prepared to do so now?
Well, I don't accept this term, terrorism, because freedom fighters cannot be called terrorists.
Well, a certain amount of bomb throwing was involved.
Because years ago, you were fighting for your own freedom, and you were called rebels or terrorists.
Well,
you were patriots.
Yes, sir. I still would like an answer.
That's another point. The answer. I don't accept the charges against me by the British government. If they had something against me, I should like them to bring me before a court of law and to give me the chance to defend myself against all these charges.
Would you express an opinion on violence? Well, let's not call it terrorism. On violence.
Yes.
In Cyprus.
I think, Mr. Oakes, that question has already been answered as much as we can at this time. I'm very sorry to interrupt, but I see that our time is up.
Monitor's thanks to Archbishop Makarios and the members of the Meet the Press panel for stimulating an enlightening half hour. Meet the Press, produced by Lawrence E. Spivak. Well, Don Russell, that about winds up my Sunday afternoon stint this week on Monitor. I see we have a few seconds left. Thought I might maybe, what do you say, answer a fan letter?
Right ahead, Ben.
All right, Don. The letter says, Dear Ben Grauer, last Sunday afternoon I took the guided tour through Radio City. When we came to the glass windows outside Radio Central, where you communicators broadcast, I failed to see you at the microphone. The guidette told me you were already going home. That's interesting. But suddenly I heard your voice broadcasting. Would you explain this? I can't believe you sneak home and do the last part of your show on the telephone, signed, Anxious. Well, Anxious, it's simply not true that I sneak out early and telephone in the last beep part of the show. I was here all last Sunday afternoon. I have, beep, witnesses to prove it. Well, beep, Don, I guess that's everything. Thanks for letting me, beep, answer this letter on the air, and beep, so long until next week, Don.
So long, Ben. Beep. Frank, will you hang up the phone, please? Ahead on Monitor, Dave Garraway talks to Ed Wynn. Hold the phone.
This is Monitor, the NBC Weekend Radio Service.